Amen, amen. He has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. It's Easter, you guys. It's Easter. He's risen from the dead. This is big news, all right? Yeah, hey, oh, we got one other little set of announcements, and that is that, you know, as we are now his body, right, we're the body of Christ, and we believe that what rose him from the dead, the power, is in us, right? And so when we prayed, and we had three families in our church community that were in health crisis and financial crisis combined. And we just felt like, you know, Lord, we want to help these people. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could? They all three had GoFundMe pages up on Facebook, and so we, you know, could learn a little bit more in depth. And we just said, man, if we could do something like this, it would be so good. And I was thinking, man, if we could have $3,000 and we could split it three ways, that would be such a blessing. And we took up an offering that day, and it was $3,000 just right here in the room. And other people had done online, and then the next Sunday we did it for people who had missed it, and another 3,000 came in, and it just kept coming, and it all finally got up to $14,600, and it's like, praise God, believe in the power of God, believe in the power of God to do things beyond what we can. I was aiming for three. God forgive me. Come on, pick it up, Tom. And so here's the deal. I was able to take to Brian and Lori Pugh yesterday. I was able to take a check for $4,800 to them, $4,867, and just say, we just want to bless you from Bradley Epworth. We want, you know, after 17 years of being our worship leader and serving us and blessing us, and just like, we love these two and their family. And it was just like, we had tears and we had prayer and we were thankful. And I just praise God for that. And I got to talk to Jacqueline, who is Herman and Denise's daughter-in-law, at the with their son Stephen, who died in 2014 of an asthma attack, and their grandson Truth. And Jacqueline is, you know, I talked to her yesterday on the phone, and she was just, she. I told her what we did, and she said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Tell the church thank you for that. And she's got a cold. Her daughter's got pneumonia, and she's going to go back to the hospital for bone marrow stuff at the end of April. And so, Herman and Denise, I'm going to give you the check that we have, because we want her to get that, okay? Is that all right? All right. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. All right, and that is for Jacqueline, and we're going to pray for each one of these people again, because, you guys, this isn't going to match the needs, okay? This isn't going to match their needs, but it's going to be a way of us, like, saying, you know, to stand in faith and say, God, release your provision and be generous, and God released his provision, and he was generous, you know, beyond the generosity of Pastor Tom. I mean, I would have given it if I had it, but, you know, but anyway, yeah, so it's like, and because we want to pray, Jesus, that you just release over Jacqueline financial provision way beyond this. This is just a seed that's being sown for a greater giving, and we thank you for that, and we pray, God, for her ultimate healing. That's what we want. And she says she's believing in it. She is hopeful for it. And I said, we're believing with you, man. And we're going to pray you through this. And Lord, we just pray for healing and financial provision in Jesus' name. And you know what? I talked to Betty Good and Michael Good's son, Larry. I talked to him on the phone yesterday, and Kristen. And they were on the way home from Texas. And they are, you know, they are in a really tough spot. But you know what she said to me? She said, I have hope. She's Pastor Tom. She actually called me Father Tom up at the hospital. I thought it was cool. It's like, oh. Kind of like that. We could change that if you guys want. But no, it was, you know, it was like, I have hope, Pastor Tom. And it's like, yes, we do too. And we're contending for your absolute and total healing. And for this is a check of the same amount that I'm going to give to you guys. I told her that we'd be giving this to you. And she said, that's fine. And she wants to be here in church. And she said, you know, at some point, and she just wanted to say, thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone for what you've done. And this is just, yes, yes. And it's a gift of encouragement. You know, you're not alone. You know, God can do things, and money can come out of nowhere. Right, right? That's what I like. And then it's like, yes, 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 yes. Come on. So, Lord, we pray for Larry and Kristen. We pray for Kristen. We pray, God, for her cancer. We just rebuke it in Jesus' name. We ask for healing, complete and total, miraculous healing in Jesus' name. And you just encourage them today. As they drive, they're still driving back from Texas, and just bless them, Lord. Encourage them, Lord. Let just your presence come into to where they're driving, and just let your presence be in the car or the truck, and just let them feel you. It's Easter, resurrection, impossible things happen. Hallelujah. And we lift up Brian and Lori to you, and we just thank you for them. We thank you for the worship they've brought into this room and into all of our lives and the service they've done for you, Jesus. And we love them and we bless them. And we just thank you, God, that this is going to provide for them and get them through a very difficult time when neither one of them can work and the insurance has doubled and all the needs are there. And we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless them. Healing. We pray for Brian and for his traumatic brain injury, and we just ask, God, that you heal it completely, give him restoration, give him blessing, and do it beyond anything that anybody expected, way beyond. Make him a genius on the other side. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Amen. This is good, this is good. Okay, you guys, this is our day, Christians. If you're not a Christian, welcome. We love you. This is good that you are here. It's God's idea that you would be here. If you're just kind of wondering whether you're going to be, you're going to leave here a Christian. I guarantee you. I just am telling you right now. I'm not going to go low in faith anymore. I'm not going to say you might. I'm going to say you will. And because the message is true. I can't help this. I can't help this. I'm not coming up with anything here this morning. Oh, Pastor Tom said, no, he didn't. Pastor Tom just brought you the message that God said, and God said, this is all true. God's real. God is real. There is a real God, and he made himself known, okay? And we are just here to celebrate that, acknowledge that, and tell the world it's all true. So Christians, we just celebrated, didn't we? I love those worship songs. Man, come on, right? Huh? I am pumped. Okay, now I know, Kelsey, that not everyone has the same extroverted, exuberant, emotional response to good things that I do. But, I understand that. I don't expect that of you. I would like a little energy, though. A little energy. I'm not asking the introverts. Calm down. But all of you who are in touch with your emotions, okay, I'm going to stop that, Crane. No, give me some energy, because I just love it. Yeah, okay, all right. All right, yes. I don't require it of anyone, but it sure is nice. Okay, all right, it's Easter. This is our day, Christians. This is the day of our truth. This is the day that makes us who we are. We aren't if it isn't. Got it? We aren't if it isn't. We're not here today. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, we're not sitting here. And there's no such thing as Christianity. There's just a memory and a footnote in some historical texts about a movement in first century Palestine that didn't come to anything. Because the leader of the movement was executed by Rome. End of story. And we don't know each other. And we don't know the beautiful, wonderful, and amazing things that God has done in our lives. But that's not what happened. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And it's all different now. Here's what happened on the first day of the week in Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." Hallelujah. I don't think they did that. I don't think there were any Easter lilies. I don't think there was a praise team, but they heard the words for the first time. Oh. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again? And then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, it was Joanna, it was Mary, the mother of James, and all the others with them who told this to the apostles. But the apostles, great men of God that they were, did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. That tells us how prepared they, well, it tells us what they thought of the women, but it tells us how unprepared they were for the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ. They heard what he said, they'd heard his words, they had the teachings, they were not expecting this. If they were expecting it, they'd say, I told you, Peter, you know, you should have, you know, no, this is nonsense. To us, it's like, are you kidding me? That's the revelation of the truth. But to them, it seemed like nonsense. That just so shows where they are. Okay. Now, if you're sitting here today, oh, and by the way, hello to everyone in the live stream. God bless you. We're thankful that you're here. I know of some people who couldn't make it today. God bless you, Barb. God bless you, Wanda. Those are the two I know about. But anybody else who's out there, bless you. It's really hopping here. I hope it's hopping in your living room. If not, get up and hop around. Nobody's watching. Just do it, you know, right? Just do it and have a happy Easter. Okay, so anybody else, God bless you. And if you're watching on Facebook later and this comes up and just say, hey, hang on to this, okay? If you're like you're just scrolling through and all of a sudden you hear this guy saying, stop, 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 and listen, because there's a message here that God has for you. All right. This is the day. This is the day of all Christianity rests on. And without this day, brothers and sisters, there's nothing for us to say to the world. We don't have a message because we don't have a hope. We would never have heard of Jesus. We would never have heard his beautiful truths. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? We wouldn't have had those teachings and no one would have written them down. Nobody was going to write. Jesus didn't write a book. This isn't where we get his teachings. Other people wrote them down. Nobody would have, because why? Or they had scrabbled notes and pieces of paper and they just would have tossed them out someday. Listen to how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians. This is great, you guys. 1 Corinthians 15 just really gets us to the point. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the message that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. There it is. The message that I preached is what? Jesus Christ was crucified, died, buried, and on the third day he rose in fulfillment of the scriptures to pay the penalty for our sins. Take your stand. Take your stand on that. Do you get it? What God's saying is here, guys, this is not the day, and this is not the time, and this is not the point in your life when you need to get wishy-washy about the truth. This is the time for you to take a stand. And I'm taking a stand today to say to you that in no uncertain terms, this is the truth. That God has revealed truth. And you can say, yeah, but there are other truths that are competing. This is the truth. And the reason I know it's true is because a dead man came back to life. Now, I can look at every movement, every philosophy, every culture, every religion, and I can tell you that that has not happened or even been claimed to happen in any other incident or any other reality except this one. Jesus Christ said that this is what would happen before it happened. Jesus Christ had scriptures that were written about him, prophecies for centuries that he walked in every one of. Jesus Christ said, this will happen, it'll happen in 3 days. He was crucified, he was put in the tomb, and 3 days later, he's risen from the dead. You guys, if you're going to follow somebody, if you're going to follow someone's teaching, if you're going to go in a direction and you don't know if you're sure what you should do, go follow the guy who died and came back to life. Okay? That's a good bet. That's a good bet that he's probably knows something that we don't know. That's a good bet that there's something about this man who he said, God has sent me, God has done this. God himself said in the scriptures, this is my person, this is my man. And everything happened exactly the way it was told. A dead man. You guys, we don't even... Okay, look, we're excited this morning, right? I'm excited this morning. But what would it feel like if you were at your loved one's funeral and halfway through the service, the casket opened and they got up and said, "Hey, I've been up in heaven and I got some stuff to tell you guys." What would you do? What? You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked, yes. You'd probably sing that song you were singing. I don't know about that, right? Yeah, no, look, it would change your life. If you saw someone who was brutally killed, tortured, bloodied, beaten, and they're dead, and they've been dead for a while, and then all of a sudden they're alive, and they're fully strengthened. They said, "I'm hungry. Do you have anything to eat?" The guy gets out of the casket and says, "Is there lunch?" And they know, and it's like nothing happened. It's like, this would change your life, okay? I'm just telling you. It would change anybody's life. Here's the thing. What Jesus did, what happened with Jesus, would change any person's life, and they would believe everything he said. So how come we don't? How come the world doesn't? Because we weren't there. We didn't see it with our own eyes. And this is where faith comes in, you guys. This is where faith comes in. And skepticism, be gone in Jesus' name. I rebuke skepticism right now. I rebuke skepticism because it's a spirit that takes us out of that which is true. And I just say, go in Jesus' name right now. Now listen to what Paul says as he continues to do this. All right, as he continues to talk. I stopped at what? Take your stand. By this gospel, this message, you are saved. Okay, this is our message, dear ones. Again, we have to take a stand. God is real. God revealed what he's going to do. God himself came in human flesh. He died and came back to life again. He was alive on this earth. And it is the means that by which we're saved, meaning saved from the penalty of our sin, which is death. When we die, what's going to happen to us? Tell me, when you die, what's going to happen? Yeah, okay, come on. Is that not just the ultimate question? Hasn't it been? What happens on the other side of death? And Paul is writing to us. God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us through this book. This book is true. This book is true because there's a real God who inspired this book and made sure that this book was what it needed to be, and it's a true book, and it tells us all sorts of things that are true, and you can deny it, or you can walk away from it, or you can say, "I don't know about that," and there's nothing I can do for you. All I can do is tell you that this is true. And that's a little seed that I'm throwing out, and I don't know what kind of soil it's going to land on, but I can't do anything about the soil. I can just throw out the truth seeds. And the truth seeds will fall on hard soil, rocky soil, soil that has weeds in it, and soil that will produce 10, 20, and 100-fold. I don't know what I'm throwing it out onto, but I know it's the truth, and the truth has a power on its own. And what Paul is saying here, he's saying, by this message, you are saved. You are saved. You come through. There's something more. There's something beautiful. There's something wonderful that's on the other side of death, and it's amazing. And if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you, otherwise you've believed in vain. For what I received, I'm in 1 Corinthians 15:3. Is that it? Okay. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And here it is, the thing that's most important, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, he appeared to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James and the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me. He said, like, this is, you guys, this is like somebody's letter that they're writing to the church, and he's just saying, "Oh, yeah, there's 500 guys that saw him alive, okay, and they're still alive, and most of them are still alive, some of them died, but, some, you know, go check, go ask them, I'll go, like, go to 1026 Hezekiah Lane and ask for Michael, and just say, "Michael, did you see him alive?" "Oh, yeah, gosh, that was amazing, my life's never been the same," and then go around the other 400. And check it out. Like, it's like, this is not something that was written later by people who said, "Hey, how can we make this look good?" Paul is saying, while he's writing this to the church in Corinth, he's saying, there were 500 brothers who saw him. Go ask them. Go ask Peter. Look at me. I mean, like, come on. But you know what? There is no way. There is no way. There is no way. Oh, the new baby, the new grandchild. there is no way, guys, for me to present to you today or anyone present to you anytime convincing proofs. We can try. I mean, there's a lot of things that make sense, okay? They're like, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? Okay, I could do that. But you know what? Bottom line, you can't be convinced of this. And you know what? I mean, I wish that were possible, but in a way, not. Because if it was just a matter of, well, this, 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 and this, oh, okay. But God is actually saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Will you put your faith in me, even though you don't have absolute certainty in a statement of faith or, statements? Will you still put your heart in my hand? I believe this is crazy evidence, but that may not be crazy evidence to you. All right. So this is the message, and this is what Paul is saying, and he's saying something else, namely that the resurrection happened. There's no doubt at all, because he saw Jesus, and others have seen him, and it's all true, and the testimony of the eyewitness account that I read out of Luke this morning. So Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, or we wouldn't be here. But look at, if we back that up, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, go back, and it says that he was buried before that. But go back before that, and it says he died for our sins, which brings us to the cross. It brings us to the place right now, right here, that is the centerpiece of our sanctuary this morning. And I was wondering, why do we have the cross up there? Why don't we have an empty tomb? Right, Roberta? She says, I did what you asked me to do. Okay. So what's the deal? But this is the deal. The deal is that the resurrection wasn't just, oh, there was a man of God who died and he came back to life. Isn't that cool? That's cool for him, but that doesn't help me. Because, you know, he's perfect, and he was perfectly obedient, and I can understand it. He died, and God raised him back up. Like, yeah, this is my good man, you know, right? But Tom, no. There's something, that the resurrection's not good news for me until I understand how, on this cross, I became a recipient, right? I became a recipient of the victory that was won. So I'm going to come back to this cross. I'm going to circle around, but I'm going to go over to the Garden of Eden for a little bit. Just be patient with me. And then I'm going to visit with the, this will be the Garden of Eden. This, these lilies, okay? That's the garden right there. But these lilies over here are the garden city that in the end of time will be, when Jesus returns, this city will be lowered down from the heavenly realms and come upon the new creation, and it'll have a garden in it. It'll have a river running right through the middle of it, the water flow. And on each side of that river will be trees. I want to talk about the tree that's going to be here, but I want to talk about the tree that was here and go to the Garden of Eden just for a minute. And then we'll come back to the cross, okay? All right, test me on this. I said, Tom, you never got back to the cross. I will, because that's where my sin is. And I have to. So God created Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve, put them in this beautiful, but he created Adam and Eve because he wanted to. He wanted to have a relationship. He wanted to have, son of Adam, right? Daughter of Eve, right? That's who we are. And the truth is that God created only one thing in creation in his image. And likeness. None of the animals, nothing else. It was only when Adam came and Eve came from Adam, and he said, this I create in my image and my likeness. There's something fatherly about this. There's something, these are my children, about this, right? These, you look at your child and you say, yeah, I see myself in him. I feel bad about that, but I've apologized. But God says, yeah, my image, my likeness, and I breathed into them. I breathed into them. Now, it's not biological life because animals have biological life. He didn't breathe into them. He breathed into Adam and Eve a spirit life, a soul, my image, my likeness, my soul. And he said, this is really good. So what does that say about you? It says that we, dear ones, are loved by God. He wants a relationship with you. Now, you know, we can think of God and say, oh, that's a harsh judge, and I hope he'll accept me, and I don't think he likes me, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But no, it's not like that at all. It's just the opposite. The opposite is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and not God so tolerated the world or God so had to clean up their mess. So it was like God so loved. And that's not a saved world, that's a fallen world. That's before we did anything to impress him. That's the world he loved so much that he gave his only begotten son. And so in the garden, it's like this beautiful relationship. And God, you know what God liked to do? He liked to go walking in the garden in the cool of the morning with Michael Good. He would just say, Michael, I'm going to come walk with you in the garden this morning. I just like you, Mike. I never called you Mike before. It feels very, you know.
I like it.
I think I'm connecting with you right now, yeah. This is a moment, everyone. So, no, but you know, it's like, you know, just God is like, Mike, do you understand that I'm just, man, I just want you to be my friend. I just want to walk with you. I want to spend time with you, my creation. God, you know, God did this. And he did this, you guys, he did this knowing that Adam and Eve would fall. And you know what? When I talk about Adam and Eve, I want you to put yourself there. Because we're all Adam and we're all Eve. And it wasn't just Adam that we can blame, because the truth is that every one of us have eaten that fruit. Because the fruit is that we want to be able to say what's right and what's wrong. We want the good knowledge of good and evil means that I get to determine what is right and what is wrong, what's good and what's evil. I can, you know, I know what God says, I know what the Bible says, I know what people say, but I will decide what good is and what bad is, what and what's right and what's wrong, okay? And that's rebellion against God, and that is the sin that caused the breach that separated us from God in the garden. Can you imagine that God, he just likes to walk in the garden, and he breathed into us, and we're in his image and likeness, and then they rebelled. They listened to the snake. They listened to evil. They sinned, and all of a sudden, there's a separation, right? There's a separation. What's separated? Well, it's that woman you gave me that did it. So automatically, Adam and Eve are separated, right? But look what else he said. It's that woman you gave me. You see the blame thing? The blame thing is never my fault. It's what you did that caused this. And the separation comes between Adam and Eve. It comes between God and Adam. It comes between God and Eve. And everything's separated, and we've lost it, and he's lost the relationship. And you guys, God, it says here in 1 Peter, it says, you were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. In other words, Jesus, as the Son of God, it was chosen before the creation of the world, before Adam and Eve even existed, that he would die for our sins. Well, how does that make sense? It makes sense because God knows the future. God knew what was going to happen, but he created it anyway. He created Adam and Eve knowing that it would cost him the death of his only son. And that's how he feels about you. He knows what you're going to do, dear ones. He knows when you'll be strong. He knows when you'll be weak. He knows the sin that you'll be enmeshed in. And he's already made a plan for it. And at the end of this, he kicks them out of the Garden of Eden, which obviously we're out of the Garden of Eden. If you don't know that, check the news. This is not Eden. And after he drove them out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim with a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the Tree of Life. He didn't want them to eat from the Tree of Life or else they would live forever, and that he was denying them. And he did this. He chose that his son would come because there is no other way except this cross. I'm not getting back to the cross yet. There's no other way except this cross to bridge that gap. Because here's what God wants ultimately, okay? I'm coming over to this side over here. This is the Garden City now, all right? What do you think the tree is that's in the Garden City? It's the tree of life. It's the very one we got banished from. But here's the thing. God says, no, I want them to live forever. I want them to get back to this. I want them to get back to this. And he talks about that in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 21, it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer the sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now, listen, all over here, the breach, the break, the separation, the loss, out of Eden, no tree of life. But the Lamb of God was sent to bring that breach back together. And it goes, now, over here, the dwelling of God is with men again. I get to walk with Matthias in the garden. I get to see my image and likeness in all of you. God sees himself in you. How's he supposed to hate that? He sees himself in you when he looks at you. Parents, do you ever look at your child and just go, whoa. This is what God, he's like, whoa, Brian, whoa, I see myself in you. And I just want it back, I want it back, I want it back. So the tree's here, it's in the new city, Jerusalem, which is going to come down, and I will be there. And listen to this, the dwelling of God is with men, he will live with them. He's going to live with us, you guys. Can you imagine living with Jesus? Hey, Jesus, you got any sugar? Sure, I'll be right over. Yeesh, it's going to be so cool. It's going to be beyond anything that we can even imagine. And yet we know by the Holy Spirit what it will be. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and he will be their God. He's going to wipe every tear from their eyes. Somebody say amen. Come on, come on. There's no more death. There's no more mourning. There's no more crying. There is no more pain, physical or emotional. For the old order of things has passed away. And then Jesus says in Revelation 22, after they talk about the tree of life. Oh, the tree of life is so cool, you guys. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Every month you get to go eat on the tree of life. Come on. Do you guys think this is like fantasy stuff? Do you think this is make-believe? No, it is not. This is the truth, and I'm going to stand on the truth. This is the truth. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be like this, you guys. Come on. I was just reading. I have time for that. Oh, I was just reading about this guy. He got hit by an 18-wheeler, and he was pronounced dead, and he was dead for no pulse for 90 minutes, and they came and prayed for him, and he came back to life, and he had been in heaven. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but when he was in heaven, he's a Baptist pastor. When he was in heaven, he saw his grandma. His grandma, he loved his grandma, and she had influenced him in his relationship with Jesus. And she was Native American, and so he said she had osteoporosis, and she didn't have any of her teeth, and wrinkled face, you know. And he loved Granny. You know, he just loved Granny. And she came up to him when he got to the gates of heaven. She came up to him, and he knew it was her immediately, only she was standing up straight and tall, and she had all her own teeth, and her face was radiant, and he said it was the most beautiful smile he'd seen in his life. That's all over here, you guys. That's all over here. This is what Jesus is saying. But listen to what Jesus says in Revelation 22. He says, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. Oh my goodness, he told the parable about going to the wedding feast and somebody was there without wedding clothes and they took him and they threw him out. They threw him out and he was out. And Jesus said there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. So as beautiful it is to see grandma, as beautiful as it is to know what's over here in the tree, what if you don't make it? I'm going to have to tell you the truth. That's what we're doing today, right? Yeah. Christians are telling the truth. We're going to tell the truth to the world, and we're going to take our stand on the truth. And the truth is that not everybody makes it. Okay? I'm sorry. I mean, we could have Hollywood this and say, yeah, and we're all going. It's all going to be great. But no, Hollywood isn't the truth, in case you didn't know that. but this is the truth, okay? And he says, okay, so then jump over. I'll jump over. You don't have to jump over. Jump over to Revelation 7, and I answered, sir, you know, and he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation, and they, listen to this, they have washed their robes, all right? Isn't that what Jesus said? Got to wash your robe? He's not talking about squeaky clean down the street. They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. That's how you get the robe clean. It's the blood of the Lamb that gives you the robe that you need to wear in order to get to the tree of life and eat forever from its fruit and enjoy the fellowship of walking with God, living with God, having the tears wiped off from your eyes. And that's what brings us back to the cross. That's the point that we got, where we left from. We went to Eden. We went to the heavenly city, Jerusalem. I guess we should call it the new creation city, Jerusalem, because it's coming down out of the heavens onto the earth, the new renewed earth. In 2 Corinthians, here's what's happening here, you guys. It's like this beam is symbolic of divinity, because it's like the vertical and the horizontal is humanity. Here is the place where divinity and humanity meet. From Eden to the new Jerusalem, there's an intersection. And God and humanity must meet here. And in that meeting, wait. God and humanity did meet here in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, because he was both God and man. And so here he is, God and man, in the intersection of where all humanity and all and the whole of divinity come together and says, okay, what's happening here? What is happening here? God, out of his love for us, says to us that I am going to the cross, and when I go to the cross, I'm going to take Caleb Figg's sins with me. So that all of Caleb's sins are going to get nailed there. Perry Cruz, all your sins are going to get nailed onto the cross. He says that's what this is. This is the intersection. And because nobody can intercede and pay the sacrifice and bring the atoning work together except someone who, no human can do that. But you can't kill God. So what are you going to do? So God takes human flesh and we kill the man, Jesus, but you can't kill the God. So he fulfills the sacrifice and absorbs the wrath of God, and all of our sins get nailed to that cross. Listen to how our scriptures talk about that. And then in exchange for the sins that are going up there, the reward of his perfect obedience comes to us. What kind of trade is that? Jesus says, bring me your sin, and I will inherit the reward of your sin by suffering on the cross and dying in your place. But you will receive in exchange the reward of my perfect obedience. Do you want to make that change? Do you want to make that exchange? I bring Jesus my sin, and he gives me his perfect obedience, and that's how we're looked at by God. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the exchange. That's what's going to get what happened in Eden exchanged, so that we can get over here to the heavenly city in the robes washed by the blood of the Lamb, so that we can eat of the tree of life, so that we can see each other and walk with God. Hallelujah. This is the truth. It's the truth upon which we stand. It's the truth that we proclaim. It's the truth that Easter's all about. Why are we here today? To tell the world that a dead man came back to life, and he did it out of love for you. He loves you. He did this for you. And Paul says it in Romans. He says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known. It's been revealed, to which the law and the prophets testify. The testimony is here. It's all about this. It's all about this righteousness that's not from the law. The righteousness from God comes through faith. faith in Jesus to all who believe, and there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And he did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies. And what he's saying is, God has to be just. There has to be a payment for sin. Somebody's got to pay for the sin. Either you will or Jesus will, but someone's going to pay for it, all right? Every sin's going to get paid for, because otherwise it would be unjust. Justice requires it, but he's also not just the just one, he is the one who justifies. So he actually will say, here's the penalty, and I will pay it. Because I love you, because I created you in my image and my likeness, and I really like you, and I want to be with you, and I want to walk with you in the cool of the garden, and it's waiting for us, it's waiting for us, it's waiting for us. So the resurrection then becomes, past the cross, this is where the sacrifice took place, this is where it all happened. The resurrection becomes the exclamation point, it becomes the proclamation, it worked. The sacrifice was accepted. The sacrifice was accepted, everyone. He's risen from the dead. Your sins are gone. That's what it means. It's what it means. That's what this is all about. This is what it comes down to. That's why it's Easter. It's the proclamation. It's the striking of the gavel on the desk in the courtroom. Forgiven. Innocent. Proclaimed innocent. Innocent status. That the resurrection is, it's done. And there's no appellate court above God. If he says you're innocent, you are. I don't care what anybody else says. Who can bring a charge against the one who Jesus says is free? Who will bring a charge against my elect? Oh my goodness. No one will. So the resurrection is the proclamation. The whole plan is done. It's finished. The sacrifice accepted. The gavel strikes the desk. The judge pronounces you innocent. You, yes, you are going to be proclaimed that. And that is why we're here today, because it's Easter. He has risen. We have been found innocent by his blood. And we're going, Oh, I broke the clock. And good. That means I don't have to worry about the time anymore. Perfect. All right. He has risen, and a dead man is alive again. And oh my goodness, listen to this. We sang this earlier, and I was like going, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. I'm so glad we sang that. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Oh, where, oh, death, is your victory? Where, oh, death, is your sting? Where are you winning, death? What are you winning? You're not. You lost. It doesn't hurt. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the resurrection is the victory. It's the evidence, the proclamation, the exclamation, the courtroom verdict. It's his announcement to the world. Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. Hallelujah. But if there were a line down the middle of this room, and I were to say to you, which side are you on? Do you believe in faith that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be and everything that this book teaches us he is? Because everything I said this morning is just out of the book, okay? You don't have to believe. I don't know if I agree with what Pastor Tom says about don't. Don't pay attention to me. Read the book. I'm just quoting, okay? But faith, listen, can I tell you, faith is coming to Jesus with unreserved trust. Such unreserved trust. I trust you, Jesus, alone for my everything. And I trust you so much that it's going to transform my life. And it's going to change me and my dreams. It's going to change my dreams. It's going to change my heart. It's going to change what I desire. It's going to change what my goals are. It's going to totally transform me. I trust you so much. It's changing who I am. And I bring that to the cross and I say, God, it's you. It's you. Get me out. Put me down, right? It's you. It's you. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But if, and here, and I'm heading there, man. I'm not going to miss that garden for anything in the world. But you know what the most beautiful part of the whole garden is? I just want to see him. I just want to see him so bad, you guys. I love this man so much. This is my 41st Easter message, okay? And I'm excited, more excited about today than I think I've ever been. Because my love for Jesus just keeps growing. It's weird. It's like I loved him when I gave my life to him 50 years ago. But it's like every year, it just feels like I just keep loving him more. What is that? I don't think I could love him anymore, but I do. But dear ones, listen, please listen. Live stream, listen. Facebook scroller, stop and listen. If I'm walking all the way up to the side of the line and saying, I'm just not sure, you're not over. I understand. You know, I understand, but I have to tell the truth. Right. And if it's ouch, it's ouch. But there's an ouch now better than a, oh my God, what have I done later? Let's get the ouches out now. Don't like me, but get into heaven. And if we're walking along that line saying, you know, I like his teachings. I want to be good. I live like a Christian. I just don't know if I, you're not over the line. There's only one thing that puts you over, dear ones. And it is when you say, I give it all. I trust you. I trust you. With my heart, my life, my soul, my strength, I trust you unreservedly. I give it all to you. We have to die, you guys. We have to die to self so that we can become alive in Christ, and we do that. And then we live a life of imperfect obedience. Right? Yeah. If there's any Christians out there who've done this for a while, it's a but our heart never stops wanting to live it fully. And to trust him. So, let's stop for a moment and just make sure that everybody knows where their heart is at. Jesus, you love every heart in this room. You love every heart on the live stream. You love every heart, and all you want is you want a relationship. You just want a relationship. You just want a heart that is fully in love. The trusts that says, yeah, God, I'm imperfect still. I know you proclaim me innocent because that's my standing, but man, I got lots of stuff. But I'm trusting you with it. I'm trusting you with my stuff. I'm trusting you with, and I'm just saying, God, I'm laying it all down. I'm just laying it all down right now. Oh, Jesus. I would want you to come into my heart as my Savior and the Lord of my life. Be my King. Would you be my King? I want you to be my King. I want to come into your heart. I want to come into your life. And I want to walk into that place where you love me so much and just say, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. You're everything that the book says you are. You're everything you claim to be. Oh, Jesus, be my joy. Be my joy. Be my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.